We want to welcome everyone to Maryville Baptist Church. Glad to see all of you this morning. We appreciate all of you being here. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in all of our hearts. I came for the Lord to do something in me today. Can I get a witness right there? Let's all stand. I'm going to have Brother Joe Haynes to come forward and open us in prayer. How we need the Lord to move in our midst this morning. So Brother Joe, you come.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be in your house this morning. We ask that you especially be with those that are not able to be here. We've got COVID running in the church. We ask that you be with those people, help heal them, bring them back to our family. God, we ask that you be with our preacher this morning as he brings our message. We ask that you talk through him and give us all something that we need to hear today. I ask that you help us to hold on to our faith, make it stronger every day. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Look upon his smiling face.
We will
I'm amazed. I've been held by the Savior. enjoyed that. Say amen.
Good singing, good singing. Appreciate them getting up and letting the Lord use them this morning. I do need to make one small announcement for all of you that have children. We have started back our youth program on Wednesday nights, so that if you have a child and interested in getting them involved in being with other little kids and learning about the Lord, be sure to come on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Brother Titus, Miss Manda are working with them, and others working with them in the back and trying to do something for our young people. I'm going to tell you something. If we don't do something for them, the devil will. Amen. He will. He'll offer them all kind of things, and the church needs to be aware of that and be involved in those young people's lives. I love all the young people of this church and appreciate them from the depths of my heart. Us at Merville with a lot of gifted people playing the instruments and singing the songs. I've often said if this church ever gets a real preacher, there ain't no telling what God will be able to do with this congregation. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning, if you will. It is a blessing to see every one of you that have set aside a few moments to come to church this morning. I appreciate it from the depths, and I know the Lord is going to do something great in the midst of us all. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And when you find that passage of scripture, if you'll stand just for a moment. I've been praying and asking the Lord to direct my heart of what He would have me to preach this morning. And I believe I have the thought of the Lord for the morning. Y'all, excuse me, I've been dealing with some sinus issues. I don't have COVID, as far as I know. Of course, all of y'all might have it and infect me before it's over with. Amen. That's the thing about it. You just don't know. You just don't know. I'm glad you know when you got the Lord. Hey. He's not a sneaky Pete. He lets you know that you know that you know. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I want you to follow along in your Bibles with us as we read. We're going to read the first 13 verses. And there's a thought that I want to try to develop in all of our hearts this morning from verse number 5. And we'll point that out in just a moment. But verse number 1, Paul writes it like this. He said, "Moreover, brethren," he's speaking to saved people now. This is a saved person's book. Amen. He said, "Moreover, brethren," he said, "I would not that ye should be ignorant." God does not want us to be ignorant. He wants us to be full aware of what he has for us. "Moreover, brethren, I would not have that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Now that's what we just love to do. That's just our fleshly nature. We love to eat and drink and rise up to play. "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now, all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also. That word "also" to me is the most important word in that verse. Let's read the verse again, verse number 13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful." But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Precious words from our God to us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Tim Mitchell, if he will, to pray for us this morning.
Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for being with us this morning, God, in the singings and the songs. Touch our hearts, God. I pray now, God, as Brother John stands, preach thy precious word, that you'll fill it with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
God, you'll touch our ears by the Holy Ghost. Mm. God, will be changed people in the result of obeying, believing the Word of God here today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your will be done this morning in Maryville Baptist Church as it is in heaven. Mm. I pray, Heavenly Father, yes, that if there's one here today that's never been saved, he, God, the Holy Spirit, would convict and convince that one. They need Jesus more than they need anything else,
yes,
God.
yes.
in this world. I pray, Heavenly Father, for the saints of God this morning, that you would increase our faith, that you would strengthen us, God. Our Lord, in the inner man, I pray, Heavenly Father, that this message will be marked in heaven as a message that changed our lives to be more like you. Thank you, God, for the privilege of being in your church amongst your people, God. This morning, have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You be seated this morning. We appreciate you standing. I want to draw your attention to verse number 5. We've read 13 verses, but I want to draw your attention to verse number 5 and give you my thought or my title for the message out of that verse this morning. He said, but with many of them who? God's people. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were, here it is, overthrown in the wilderness. That's what I want to preach on for a little while this morning with God's help. Overthrown in the wilderness. In 1678, there was a book published, written by John Bunyan. It's a classic Christian novel by the name of The Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you in here have ever read that book? Let me see your hand. Several of you across the congregation. In that book, he wrote some things. It was an allegory story about a Christian's life from beginning to end. And he wrote that while he was in prison for 12 years in the Bedfordshire County Prison for holding religious services outside the approval of the established Church of England. They didn't approve of him having those religious services, so they imprisoned him. And during that prison sentence, he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. In this allegory story, he tells of a main character by the name of Christian. That's the main character. He has some traveling companions with him. One of those is named Faithful. And in this story, he begins his journey in life as a Christian in the city where he was born and raised, called the City of Destruction. And it tells the story of his life from the City of Destruction to what he called the Celestial City or Heaven. In that traveling of Christian, it said that he faced many obstacles and places, including a place called Vanity Fair. Vanity Fair was typical or pictured as the world that you and I live in even today. In this Vanity Fair, there was a traveling companion, as I said, by the name of Faithful. And he met his martyrdom for being a Christian, for being a follower of Christ at Vanity Fair. There were judges who judged him. Some of those judges' name or jurors' names were Mr. High-Minded, Mr. Liar, Mr. Cruelty, Mr. Hate-Light, Mr. Implacable, Mr. Blind Man, Mr. No Good, Mr. Malice, Mr. Love Lust, Mr. Enmity, and Mr. Heady all sat in judgment on Christian and his companion Faithful. Reminds me of the world judging Christianity today. We're being judged by that rank of people today. In the storyline, Christian barely escapes Vanity Fair, but he does escape. And his main consolation, matter of fact, his only consolation during his travels from the city of destruction to the celestial city was the thought that kept pounding in his heart that he was headed to a better place. And brethren, can I say this, that if you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, I highly recommend it, especially during this downtime that some of us are experiencing due to the COVID and shutdowns and things like that. I suggest you learn how to read. Reading would be a good thing to do during our downtime. And that picture, that book, pictures the Christian life from beginning to end and the things that we're going to face along the way. It has been said about this world that this world is not our home. And thank God it isn't. And yet we live in this present, as the Bible calls it, evil world. And this world may not be our home, but we still have to live in it. And we are living in it, and we're experiencing some things like we have never seen unfold in front of us today. I want to read to you Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Listen to these words. He said, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We have been delivered from this present evil world. God gave his Son on Calvary. The Son gave his very life and his very blood on Calvary, that you and I could enjoy the deliverance of salvation that he freely gives to whosoever. I'm thankful to be a saved child of God before you this morning. I don't deserve to be saved, but thank God he saved me by mercy and grace. And I stand here before you, a child of God, all because of what God has done for me. And that's true of any one of us in this room who are saved today. We are saved, children of God, making our pilgrimage through this evil world. And would you agree with me that this world is getting more evil and more corrupt and more hard to bear and more temptuous and more violent as we progress through this thing? I mean, we've seen a lot since 2020 opened its pages to us, and now we're entering 2021, and it does not look like it's going to get any better. It just looks like it's going to be turmoil and chaos before us. I want to ask you something. How are we going to make it through this world without being overthrown in our wilderness? And verse 5 calls our attention to this thought that God, even though they were God's people, with many of them God was not well pleased. Because, why? Because they were overthrown in the wilderness. Oh, there's many things out there today to draw our attention to. Many things that could capture our hearts and our minds. And we, if we're not careful, will wind up just like they did. And we become overthrown in our wilderness. And brethren, if we're not careful, and the Bible tells us to take heed lest he that thinketh he standeth should fall. I can say this upon the authority of the Word of God. There's not one of us in this room that is not without the possibility of us falling, being overthrown in the wilderness. But I believe with all of my heart that you're sitting here this morning because you want to please the Lord. You want to finish it right. You want to do it right. You're not here just sitting and going through the motions. But you're here because you truly want to live and serve God with your life. And I believe that with all of my heart. Well, I want us to take this passage and I want us to find out. How are we going to make it through without being overthrown in the wilderness? We have been warned over and over again in the Word of God concerning the world we live in. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Can I say it like this? A ship is made for the water. And as long as a ship is in the water is its friend and support. But when the water gets in the ship, that's when the water becomes the enemy. Can I say it like this? We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We live in this world, but the world should not overtake us and overwhelm us and overthreaten us. Can I say this? If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in this evil world. Amen and amen. Well, I want us to take these 13 verses and break them down for you and give you some things, three thoughts about how we can avoid being overthrown in the wilderness. Number one, I want us to say that we need to, verses 1 through 4, we need to lean upon our endowment. There's a salvation that is common to every one of us. How many of you in here are saved by the good grace of God? Say amen. How many of you know that you know that you know that your sins have been forgiven and your name's been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you belong to God? Say amen right there. Thank God we're saved by the grace of God. And all of us who are saved the same way by the same Savior. I want you to notice the word all. In these verses, look in verse number 1 twice, the word all. In verse number 2, they were all baptized. Verse number 3, they all did eat the same spiritual meat. Verse number 4, they all drank the same spiritual drink. Can I say this? That we've all been gifted by God to be saved by the grace of God. There's no big I's or little U's in the church. There's just a big God who saved us all. There's just a big Savior who went to the cross and shed His precious blood. And can I say it like this? We all have the same salvation. We all have the same Spirit of God on the inside. We all have the same Book of God. We all belong to the same family. We all have the same blood that's been applied to our life. Thank God for the common salvation of all. Amen. God does not shortchange any one of us in salvation. Woo! Thank God He doesn't. I was shortchanged at birth, my first birth, because I'm a short fella. I've been shortchanged. And I'm losing my hair. If there's one thing I miss in my life, I miss my hair. Oh, I wish I saw Zach walk in. I thought, I don't even like him. I Wish I had my hair back. You do too, don't you, brother? Amen. I heard a preacher preaching. He said, boy, we can preach the hair off of some of you. And he said, some of you are sitting here now. Listen, when it comes to salvation, God shortchanges none of us. He gives us all exactly what we need to make it through. He gives every one of us the Spirit of God on the inside to dwell with us forever. And thank God He does. He gives us a book that we can read and hold and memorize and hear it preached and just go to it any time that we need to and get some strength from and get our faith built. God gives us what He gives us, and He gives it to us all. All thank His blessed name. Salvation is common to us all. The Bible says that we've all been promised the same thing, and that is salvation, eternal life forever and ever and ever. How many of you are saved? Say amen again. Amen. You're going to heaven. There ain't one thing the devil can do about it. There's not, you can't lose your salvation. You cannot lose it once God gives it to you. God's not an Indian giver. He didn't give it to you, then He's going to take it back. God gave you eternal life, and the life is in His Son. That life is not in your goodness. It's not in your baptism. It's not in your church membership. It is in Jesus Christ. And thank God it is. I remember one time I hadn't been saved long. I got saved in 1982 down in Waycross, Georgia, our hometown. And boy, when I got saved, I'm talking about it was a different life. Everything was different in my life. And thank God when He saves somebody, He changes your life. Amen. I went from booze to a Bible. Woo! Glory to God. He saved me. And I remember I was standing in a store one day, and I was talking to somebody that was standing in line with me. And they were a Christian, and they meant well. I'm not criticizing what they did. I'm not making fun of it a bit. I'm just using it as an illustration. They reached into their pocket, and they pulled out one of them little aluminum crosses. You ever seen those little aluminum crosses about that big? And it said, Jesus saves on it. And they told me, said, I want you to take this. And I want you to put it in your pocket. And I want you to keep that in your pocket forever. And whenever you run your hand in your pocket and you feel that little cross, it'll remind you that you're a Christian. And I did. I put that little cross in my pocket. But can I ask some of y'all, have any of y'all in here ever watched me look for my keys? Look for my Bible? I mean, if any of y'all, I'm the absent-minded preacher. I mean, they talk about the absent-minded professor. I am the absent-minded preacher. I can't keep up with nothing. I mean, ask my wife. I go to walk out of the house. I can't find my keys. I can't find my wallet. I can't find my phone. I cannot tell you how many miles I have spent going back to get my phone that I've left somewhere. I mean, I went to check out one day, pulled my wallet out of my pocket. I opened it up, took some money out of it, put the wallet right there, paid it right there, and walked out and left my wallet sitting there. I went walking out, and a little old lady come shuffling up behind me. Sir, you left your wallet. I mean, that's me. I'm glad keeping my salvation ain't left up to me. I can't keep up with nothing. Thank God salvation is kept by the power of God. Amen. And God gave that to all of us, not just certain ones. If you're saved, you're going to wind up in heaven. This world is not your home. Thank God it's not. Have you noticed the mess we're in? Have you looked around and seen the mess that this world is in? Why, America can't even agree over presidents anymore, land that used to transfer power peacefully, and a president would leave a little note on the desk for the incoming president. We can't even change presidents without a ruckus anymore. This land is going to hell. America is going to hell, and it's being led by people who want it to go that way. I mean, it is a mess out there. Can I get a witness right there? Oh, Lord, I didn't mean to go political. I didn't want to at all. I didn't even want to bring it up. And I'm driving somewhere with all of this. Salvation is free to us all. Every one of us who are saved forever by the power of God. Which means we all have not just the same privileges, but we have the same potential. Every one of us can live for God and glorify Him. How many of you enjoyed these people up here singing for us and playing the instruments this morning? Well, all of us may not be able to sing or play an instrument, but every one of us can live for Christ. We can live for Jesus. You can do this thing right. You can do this and glorify your Savior through it all. You don't have to give in to the lies of the devil that just tells you you're nothing, that you're no good. If you're saved by the grace of God, Jesus Christ went to the cross for you. He shed His blood for you. He died for you. But thank God He got up the third day and He did it all for you. He did it for you. We all have the same potential. One time His disciples were arguing and the Lord overheard them and He knew what they were arguing about. And He walked up to them and said, "What was it y'all were disputing about?" And they were ashamed to even tell Him, because what they were disputing about was who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. That's what they were fussing about. They were just as human as me and you are. You know. I can answer that. You know who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus Christ. That settles it. I mean, there's no need in us trying to find the spot of who's going to be the greatest. I'm going to tell you who's going to be the greatest. If we're all going to be pointing to Jesus Christ and saying He's the reason that we're here. He's the reason. He's the one that made it all possible. It's all the glory and honor and praise is going to go to Jesus Christ. And because of that, we all can live for Him and glorify Him in this present evil world. All through the Bible, you read about people who lived under adverse conditions with people who were in power that did not like God's people and tried to overthrow God's people. And all through the Word of God, you read about those people still living for God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can live for Jesus Christ and glorify Him. Number one, we need to lean upon our endowment. Number two, we need to listen to the examples. But with many of them, God was not well pleased because they were overthrown in the wilderness. Why? Because they let the wilderness overtake them. Now I'm going to get down to where John and everybody else in here lives. They were overtaken in the wilderness because they let the wilderness get to them. If I'm understanding words right, a wilderness is nothing. A wilderness is nothing. And that nothing brought them to nothing. What they were experiencing in a wilderness overtook their lives and brought their lives, brought what God had done for them to nothing. Would you agree with me that Christ has done so much for every one of us in this room? I got saved in 1982. And all the things that God has brought me through and brought me and seen me through every one of them. And I'm still standing today all because of the goodness of God in my life. All because God worked the way He did on my behalf. And you're here today because God has worked on your behalf in the ways that He has. Listen, you know why God was not well pleased with them? Because they let the wilderness of nothing overtake them. You say, Brother John, what we're going through isn't a wilderness. Oh, yes, it is. Everything that we're facing in life is nothing compared to eternity. You think about all that we've seen, the COVID and all. And COVID is a bad, bad thing. I'm not slighting that at all. But when it's all said and done, we're going to lay down these old bodies. And we're going to be changed and transformed and be given a glorified body. And we're heading to a land where no COVID will ever enter. No disease will ever enter. No tear will ever enter. No death will ever enter. No medicine is needed over there. Because God has a place better for us prepared. You know what the Bible says? It says, with them, with many of them, God was not well pleased. And can I say this morning? That should be the question of questions for all of our lives. No matter what we're involved in, is God pleased with me? Is God pleased with my life? Is He pleased with my with the way that I read my Bible? Is He pleased with the decisions I make? Is He pleased with my prayer life? Is He pleased with my relationships? Is He pleased with my marriage? Is He pleased with what I do? What if we had somebody up there in the Senate that got up one day and said, I cannot vote on this legislation because it will not please Jesus Christ? Well, I believe we'd all be shouting, wouldn't we? We'd all be praising God. Say, did you hear? I mean, it would be headline news everywhere. Facebook would explode with people reposting and sharing and putting it all out there. But that's what God's looking for in all of our lives. Is your life pleasing to the Lord? Is what I'm doing pleasing to Jesus Christ? Is the way that I'm living pleasing to Him? Bible says with many of them, God was not well pleased because they were overthrown in the wilderness. This past year, 2020 has been an overwhelming year. COVID, lockdown, social distancing, face masks, gloves, hand sanitizer, politics that absolutely disgust us, frustrations, disillusions, uncertainties, jobs lost. And those things can get a hold of our lives to where they overtake us. I want you to notice with me in our text the things that are listed that overtook them. Lust, idolatry, fornication. There was some that tempted Christ. But verse 10 is the verse that gets me. More than any other verse. It's the one that just slaps me every time I read it. He says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. You know what I found myself doing? And I'm being open and honest with every one of you. I've been griping and complaining and murmuring about everything that's going on in front of me. And I've let it overtake my life. And I've let it get a hold of my heart and get a hold of me to a point where I lived in defeat. I lived in disharmony. All I could do was think about what I didn't like about what was going on up there in Washington, D.C. Murmuring, complaining. You know who I'm really murmuring against? I'm really murmuring against God. because God's allowed to go on what's been going on. You know what they were murmuring about in the wilderness now? What could you find to murmur about in a wilderness? They found it. Couldn't find no water, they murmured. Couldn't find no food, they murmured. Couldn't do this, they murmured. They complained, they griped. They griped against Moses. They griped against Aaron. They griped against every person. I mean, they were fussing among themselves. You know what this COVID and all this stuff and all this political stuff has done? It's made enemies out of all of us. We're all fussing and fighting, and we can't get along with nobody. We're murmuring and complaining and griping and carrying on just like it's the end of the world. This is not the end of our world. Our world is over yonder. Our world is over yonder. This is not our world. This is not our home. We're headed for a better place. More, if there's one thing that has gotten me more than any other thing, is this murmuring that I found myself doing on a regular basis. Did you know murmuring is contagious? I tell you what, dude. Get you somebody in a real good mood and hang with them for about 5 minutes and do nothing but complain while you're in front of them. Before it's over with, everything's going to be wrong between the two of you. Both of you's going to be arguing and fussing and fighting and complaining and griping and murmuring about everything that's going on. Ain't nothing going to be right. Would you agree with me? Murmuring is a definite sin that we have to deal with in our lifetime. And if we're not careful, we'll let all this murmuring overtake us, and we will be overtaken in the wilderness. I love verse 13. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. I don't know how you handle things in your own personal life. Instead of murmuring and complaining, you reckon picking up your Bible and reading would... Instead of watching TV, I got a little dog, Sugar, S-H-U-G-A. She's my little rescue dog. And Sugar's a barker. She sees you move outside the house, she's going to nail you. And she loves to sit upstairs with me in my upper room. I got a window up there. And she'll be laying up there on the back side of the couch, and every once in a while in her deep stupor, she'll raise up her head and look, and she'll see something out that window start moving. She'll... I said, Sugar, hush, hush, Sugar. No. She can see a leaf being crawling across her front. And God knows if one of our neighbors happens to step out of their house, that dog is all over. You know what I do? I go over and just shut the blinds. She shuts up. She don't see nothing. Out of sight, out of mind. She don't see it. Maybe we need to cut the news off. Maybe we need to cut off ABC, CBS, NBC, CNBC, Fox News, Newsmax. Just changing channels ain't going to... Nah, it don't work. There's still going to be things, they're still going to be talking about the same thing that's been aggravating you. And you're still going to be murmuring and complaining and griping and fussing and ain't nothing right in life. And all that stuff that God has done for you. This morning we were getting ready for church. And a preacher said something. We had the TV on. A preacher said something. And I said, and I made a snide remark. And Debbie said, what you going to do? Complain about that too? Going to fuss about that? I love my wife. God put her in my life to give me a check. Every one of them women sitting here going, Oh yeah. Don't you just love it when God nails your hide to the wall? Fussing, murmuring, complaining, washed in the blood, saved forever, going to heaven one glorious day. Got a Savior set it up in heaven making intercession for me. Got a God that loves me and cares for me and cares about all of my care. And I can cast it on Him and He'll take every bit of it and just do a work in me. And I let what I see in my wilderness turn my life inside out. Sis, you come to the piano. It's been said that the enemy has gotten to the point now where he's living in plain sight and nobody can see him. I believe 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 13 is written to us today. He said, be careful. You may be sitting there thinking, oh, this is never going to happen to me. This won't happen to me. I've got this thing. I can handle this. I can fuss along right along with the best of them and still glorify the Lord and murmur and complain. Talk about Trump and talk about Biden and fuss and carry on. And listen, Democrats ain't our hope. Joe Biden is not going to change the fact that I'm still washed in the blood. He cannot take my Savior out of my heart. There's no telling what we're going to see in 2021. There's no telling what we're going to experience, what is going to be cast up in front of us, what the church is going to go through. There is no telling. But all of my sins are washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I am forgiven. I am a child of God. I am on the winning side. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God, it didn't say if Trump be for us, who can be against us? It said if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Brethren, we need to take 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to heart and realize that murmuring is just as big a sin as fornication, just as big a sin as tempting Christ, just as big. As we stand across the auditorium, I preach what God's put on my heart. Could we find a place, just scratch us out a little place across these altars. Say, Lord, I don't want what's before me to overtake me. Lord, I want to be overtaken by your love. I want to be overtaken by the forgiveness that's in Christ. I want to be overtaken by my home, which is far, far away. Have you gotten caught up in murmuring and complaining and griping lately? It happens to us all. And it's just as much a sin that needs to be confessed and forgiven as any other sin in life.